This is part two of three in thinking about one of, if not the greatest energy sucks in organizational and family life, conflict. Last week, I suggested a three-part foundation. Last week's lessons, one, heighten your awareness of conflict. Awareness creates new choices. Two, conflict is always mutual. Three, I am responsible for the way conflict affects me. Nobody makes me mad or anything else. So if you're aware you're in conflict, know it's mutual, whether the other consciously knows it or not, and know you're responsible for your own feelings, then you're ready. Each of the following steps is simple, yet each is hard to do. Knowing is easy, doing hard. Every time, however, I have done these, it has worked. One, don't try to solve it in one sit down. If that's really impossible, see the footnote at the end. Instead, two, make it your goal to completely understand the other. Conflict means you have two different pictures. She believes sell, you believe buy. He wants to discipline the kids, but you think they need slack. He wants to pull the trigger, but you think other strategies are available. This is an important truth that we almost always lose sight of. Understanding the other does not mean giving up your view, doesn't mean you're wrong, doesn't mean they will have the upper hand. It just means understanding them. See point one. Don't try to solve it in one sit down. Your chance to be understood will come. But for right now, you are learning and you are building trust. Remember, all conflicts are mutual. So having them be heard is working on the problem. Now, yes, it would be nice for them to say, "No, no, don't ask me about my view. Let me hear your view, because you're probably right and I'm probably being an idiot." Well, what a wonderful fantasy. But life doesn't work like that. And if you're unsure about that, think about the last time you took that standpoint and said, "No, I don't want to share my point of view. I want to hear yours because I'm sure you're right." Step three. To understand, ask open-ended questions and use their words to deepen and broaden your, and often their, understanding of what they're thinking and feeling. I teach students to think of that computer icon, you know, the one with the clipboard where you cut and paste. Use their language that precisely. In conflict, people often feel misunderstood. So using their words closes the gap so they feel understood and you are causing yourself to understand. If you want to really become a professional at this, learn to use these two words. Say more. Remember, you're not making them right, except about what they understand and believe, so you can understand. To completely understand, now I'm really upping the ante. Understand their feelings. Use their words if they share them. "So, you found it frustrating when I went ahead without you." Or if they haven't verbalized their feeling, you might ask, "So it sounds like you are frustrated when I..." And if you can possibly and authentically do so, validate those feelings. So you would say, for instance, "I can see why that was frustrating for you." Try it. As my wife Jennifer and I joke with each other about conversations sometimes, "Okay, when do we get to the part about me?" That's next week. Really, if you can do the above, you have done a ton. You can conclude by thanking them for sharing, for giving you something to think about, for sharing their perspective. Tell them you'd like to let it sink in. If you're human, doing such listening probably triggered arguments and feelings in you, but you've done heroic work. Let it steep. If they insist on hearing your point of view, and if there is timeliness to reach resolution, have at it. But don't stop listening. If they push back, listen more. But if you can get them to give you time to think about it and about your role and your perspective, take the time. Okay, I'm intensely curious to know if you try this, and I'd love for you to share your experience in a comment or in a direct email to me at dan@danmulhern.com. And of course, if you disagree in ways, share that too as you lead with your best self. I said there would be a footnote about those who feel like they have to solve the problem now. So here's my thought on urgency. We live in a state of constant urgency, it seems. But what is really urgent? Often our urgency is subjective, deadlines we have set, or anxiety that presses in us and demands resolution. My 28-year-old and I lived in near constant conflict for decades. We forced ourselves to the bargaining table because things felt urgent. But the urgency was so often a subjective matter, and the same feelings that gave rise to urgency were the ones that made it so hard for us then to be patient with each other and with ourselves. Her fears that I was not understanding her, and mine that she was disrespecting me, kept us from being able to hear the other's perspective. If there is urgency, the exercising of the heroic restraint of listening first becomes 10 times more important. Try it.